This is Degaris Masculist MGTOW Flyers, that is two three-page essays on the themes of masculism and MGTOW, written by and read aloud by Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. This is flyer number 733, entitled Masculism, Conscription, and Generational Democracy. Description. Conscription is one of the worst forms of oppression of men, and hence a major masculist issue. This flyer pushes young men to be more conscious of the moral barbarity of conscription, where older male politicians dictate their own ideological values onto young men, forcing them to risk their lives defending these older male politicians' ideologies. Nations need to become less nationalistic so that they become less inclined to conscript their young men. Elon Musk's Starlink, that uses thousands of low Earth orbit communicating satellites to send the internet to the entire planet, in brackets, Russia and China, and a few others accepted, close brackets, will bring the world to the world, thus lowering nationalistic mentalities and hence lowering the desire of older male politicians to conscript young men. The flyer itself. Masculism, Conscription, and Generational Democracy by Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. Email profhugodegaris@yahoo.com. Website profhugodegaris.wordpress.com. One of the major sources of oppression of men, especially young men, is conscription, where older men, politicians, decide that young men are to be sent to war, often against their will, which often results in their deaths, a major form of oppression. As background to the issue of masculism and conscription, I want to relate my own story re-conscription, since it will make you understand my motivation to tackle this passionate issue. I'm old. I'll be 80 in less than 2 years. When I was a young man of 18, living in Australia, it was the time of the Vietnam War. The then Prime Minister of Australia decided that the relationship between the political slash military giant of the US and the political slash military midget of Australia needed strengthening, since if Australia were invaded by an Asian power lying to the north of Australia, then Australia would need a powerful ally to intervene and push back the invading power. In World War II, the Japs bombed Northern Australia, scaring the Australian government shitless. So since then, the Australian government has been powerfully convinced of the need to have a powerful ally to help protect Australia from invasion by powerful dictatorial governments whose values the Australian government and people have a hatred of. In the time of the Vietnam War, the Australian Prime Minister used the expression "all the way with LBJ." LBJ was the US President of the time by the name of Johnson, who was sending more US troops to Vietnam to stop the spread of communism throughout Southeast Asia. The then Australian Prime Minister, Menzies, introduced conscription and sent young Australian conscripts to Vietnam, of which 200 were killed. Australian young men were obliged to register for the draft, and a lottery system using marbles with dates of birth was used to select conscripts. My birth date marble came up, so I was conscripted to go to the Vietnam War after I finished my degree at Melbourne University. I managed not to go to the Vietnam War, by telling a therapist at my university that if I were conscripted, I would, quote, assassinate an Australian general, end quote. The therapist had an anti-war psychiatrist friend downtown to whom I was referred. The psychiatrist talked to me for about 2 minutes and handed me an envelope to be given to the army when I had a medical exam to see if I were fit enough to fight. I steamed open that envelope, brackets, given that my life was on the line, to read that the psychiatrist thought that I had a severe personality disorder that would make me unfit to be a conscript. I went to the army exam, passed the physical, and failed the mental. 6 months later, living in London, I learned in the news that that anti-war psychiatrist had been arrested by the Australian government. The Vietnam War was then a hot topic on campus, with young men highly conscious that they might be called up to fight in a war that most of them were hostile towards. I was certainly one of them. I'd been reading that the Vietnamese peasants at the time were paying up to 3/4 of their crop as rent to their landlords. So, of course, when the communist rebels swept through their villages, killing the landlords, as Mao Zedong had done earlier in China, several million of them, these Vietnamese peasants were very happy to be handed over the land to them. So they embraced communism with open arms. Once my marble came up, I became paranoid with rage. How dare these Australian politicians conscript me, treating me like a piece of meat to be used as cannon fodder, to be forced to risk my life to defend an ideology that my political leaders were pushing, that I was personally opposed to. At night, I would wander the cemetery next to my university college, in paranoid rage, envisioning myself lobbing grenades into the parliament to kill as many conscripting politicians as I could who had conscripted me, forcing me to, in capital letters, risk my life to defend their ideology. Never in my life have I felt such hatred, which thoroughly radicalized me, filling me with burning hate. I dreamt up this political slogan: conscription is an assassinable offence. That is, if someone conscripts you, kill him. Reasoning that if someone is willing to sacrifice your life towards his political goal, that is, if he feels he has the right to see you as an expendable sacrifice, then you have the same right to treat that person the same way. He's prepared to kill you, so to stop him, you kill him. The more nationalistic a country is, the more likely it is that that country will be prepared to have conscription. Classic examples today are the US and countries which have neighbouring dictatorships, such as South Korea, which has a brutal dictatorship, North Korea, to its immediate north. Imagine a country which has conscription, and that many of the young men in that country have the attitude that conscription is an assassinable offence, who regularly assassinate their conscripting leaders, resulting in real fear amongst the leaders that if they conscript, there will be such murderous hatred of them by young men that they will indeed be murdered. This flyer pushes the idea that young men need to become so hateful of the idea of conscription, that so oppress young men, that it can often result in their deaths, that they do not tolerate the idea of conscription, to the point that any older male politician who advocates conscription is immediately murdered, assassinated, obliterated as a mass murdering monster, an object of utter hatred, so that no older man politician even thinks about the idea of conscripting young men, since if he does, he knows his days will be quickly numbered. Conscription is one of the worst forms of oppression of men, young men, a form of oppression so severe that young men, conscripted men, die as a result. Take the case of World War I, largely a conflict between Germany and France, with German conscripts fighting French conscripts, killing each other with, in capital letters, neither of them wanting to fight. The moral abomination of this situation makes me sick to my stomach whenever I think about it. So why did these young men on either side fight each other using modern industrialized weapons like machine guns that were so effective in killing large numbers of conscripts on the other side? They did so because if they refused, they would be shot. If they walked off the battlefield, they would be shot. So they killed conscripts on the other side through fear of themselves being killed by the leaders of, quote, their own side. These leaders, their officers, were under the same pressure, the same logic. So where did this chain of command, this chain of fear, terminate? With the conscripting politicians, of course. So the anti-conscription rhetoric of this flyer is that it is these top-level conscripting politicians who are the real enemy of the conscripts, and it is these politicians who are to be assassinated, so that they themselves fear conscripting young men. Because they know if they do, there will be such murderous hatred on the part of the conscripts that these young men will murder their conscriptors to stop them from conscripting. Of course, this type of logic has its weaknesses. What to do when an enemy regime is so barbaric and has such control of the minds of its citizens that they pose a major threat? To keep things concrete, take the case of the Koreans. To South Koreans, North Korea is hateable. It is a brutal regime that keeps its citizens poor and utterly brainwashed, feeding them constant propaganda that they live in a utopia and have a wonderful moral duty to defeat the enemy, South Korea. South Korean politicians argue that they must have conscription of young South Korean men so that the North Korean conscripts do not invade and take over South Korea and establish the same kind of barbaric regime in South Korea as already exists in North Korea. These South Korean politicians argue that it's necessary to sacrifice the lives of young South Korean men by conscripting them for the greater good of preserving the existence of South Korea for the majority of South Koreans. So if young South Korean males are imbued with the attitude that conscription is an assassinable offence and assassinate regularly their South Korean leaders so that there is no conscription in South Korea, so that there are not enough soldiers in South Korea to stop an invasion of the country by conscripts of North Korea, then all South Koreans suffer greatly, since they are now subjects of the North Korean dictators, forced to live a miserable life as do the North Koreans. This is the usual logic of conscriptors in so-called democracies. So how to combat this logic? From the point of view of the older male politician conscriptors, they will be strongly motivated to kill the anti-conscription assassins, arguing that by doing so, they will be more likely to allow the survival of the majority of their citizens, who are thus enabled to have the superior lives they live, free from being invaded by a brutal dictatorship. We have here a fundamental clash of interests, so how to resolve this conflict? One way is to undermine nationalist loyalty. A people who has been powerfully brainwashed to adhere to just one nationality, to be programmed to have real pride in their nation, are more easily persuaded to be conscripted. Americans are a clear example of this. Personally, I lived some decades in Belgium, which is one of the least nationalistic nations on the planet, since it's sharply divided into two major social cultural groups, the Dutch-speaking Flemings in the north and the French-speaking Walloons in the south, who dislike each other since the northerners have a Germanic mentality and the southerners have a Mediterranean mentality, and the two don't mix. I am a great fan of what Elon Musk is currently doing with his Starlink program of placing thousands of low-orbit communication satellites around the Earth, beaming down the Western Internet, so that most of humanity, especially in the 60-odd dictatorships that still remain on the Earth, is exposed to the political ideas of the planet, causing them to become multicultured in their mentalities, losing their monocultured, brainwashed nationalism, so that they have a sense of cultural relativity, seeing that there are many political and social philosophies. This is the end of part one.